before it goes off and regular. It's tucked in this long.
The conference committee and the DWI Interlock bill will come to order. And the Senate was prepared to make an offer to the House, and were the offer sheets passed out yet? Can we get those passed out so that the House has a copy? What's coming around is an offer and then some language as well. There will be a sheet labeled Senate Offer Number 2 to the 1st and an A7 amendment as well. But I've got a list here and members of things that we've either agreed to conceptually or that are pretty much the same in both bills. And it's quite a few of the sections. I mean, it's a long, long list. And here's our offer, so obviously there's not much left to resolve. So we've got most of it done. But, you know, the Senate feels that we've went a long way. We're willing to take, the felony DWI provision that the House has. We're willing to accept the double the legal limit and the shorter revocation time for the second DWI, the second offense of a DWI offender. And in return, we're looking for the DWI foreclosures, the Senate, or forfeitures, the Senate position. Quite frankly, that just makes sense. We want people to get on this card as soon as possible, so why would we want to take their car away from them if we want them to have an intoxicator? That doesn't jive quite right. The language on the offer about the B card is this amendment. And then we also would offer up the Senate position on not eliminating the gross misdemeanor on the alcohol restricted driver's license, the B card, the restricted driver's license. People get restricted driver's license because they've proven that they want to operate outside of the bounds of the law. And if we give them a restricted card and they continue to do that behavior, the penalty should be more severe for someone than just a misdemeanor. It should be something a little more teeth to it. And then we would like the House to accept the Senate position on the insurance requirement for the ignition interlock. And I think that we heard from the department that there might be, but that's one of those things where the department is kind of hesitant because we're throwing another thing in there for people to show up with to get the interlock program going. And we just felt there would be some confusion there. But in regards to this B card issue, just so the folks in the House understand, the Senate feels that we've went a long way in addressing the major concerns that the House has about getting your bill through and off the House floor. Now, this restriction on the B card is 10 years sobriety, and after that, it's whatever the House wants to do. We're taking them completely off the restriction. They don't have to have their card marked. It's not going to be on their record. I mean, right down the line, it's what the House wants. But we are going to maintain that we want 10 years of sobriety because these people on the B card have proven that they want to operate outside of the bounds of the law, and we want 10 years sobriety before we bring them back into a full-blown driver's license.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the offer. I don't know if our members have any questions or if your side has any other comments they'd like to make, but the House would probably need a second to go take over Senator Stevens' office and chat a little bit. But I see some of my members have questions.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With relation to your forfeiture of the vehicle, it's my my understanding with your language that if you sign up for the program,
mm-hmm.
you don't lose your car, but you don't have to complete the program, and you keep your car. So you could agree, sign up for 1 month. Your bill had a provision that said that if you stop doing it, they can't recover any cost. So
mm-hmm.
you take it out of the car. I just kept my car, and I signed up for 1 month.
Mm-hmm. Senator Moore.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, the what we contemplate there, and maybe the language is not there, and certainly it's my provision. I'm open to accommodating that. What's contemplated here is that if somebody goes through and goes on this program and have all the equipment put on the vehicle, at some point if they get revoked or they discontinue with the program, they have to get the machine off of their vehicle if they choose to go elsewhere. So because of the physical requirement of the machine going on the vehicle, there's still some physical custody, some control over that vehicle. If the one concern is that how do we, just as it was an incentive for them to go on the program, if they go off the program, I think that I don't have a problem. I don't know that the Senate would have a problem making it the vehicle then subject to forfeiture if they go off the program.
Right, and Representative Hillstrom, Mr. Backus just whispered in my ear that if somebody, if an individual voluntarily decided to get off the program, we could write it in that the forfeiture now applies. So we can accommodate you on that.
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
A question to that, and Senator Moore, maybe for counsel, though, how do you, so then you're expecting the vendor to then notify somebody that the car needs, when it gets deinstalled, then it's up to the vendor to let somebody know that this car now needs to get forfeited? I mean, I'm not clear on, so you go to this vendor, gets installed, and then let's say something happens like what Representative Hillstrom said, where then a month later they're like, oh, I'm done, I got my car, but then,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do you send a repo person out to get the car? I'm being serious. I just don't know
no,
the practicality of it.
Representative Bingham, I think it's pretty easy to take care of. You just point at these folks in the back row here. They're the ones that are going to write the rule. Make sure you write a rule that takes the car away from people. And tell the vendor that anytime they take one out, they got to let you know. I mean, it's just that simple. And I'm sure that the department's already thought about the, you know, 1,000 rules that they're going to have to write to make this program work anyway.
I'd
so
be interested to see if the department had any comments on them.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Norton, and then...
just to this point, I guess I would... If you give the car to a person and they, without having any forfeiture, they have to take it from their home after you've released it because you're not holding it. They still have to get to the vendor to get it put on, so you still have a week or so where they have control of the car. And they may or may not ever get to the vendor, but say they do get to the vendor, how easy is it to remove one of those yourself? That someone could just take it out themselves and we wouldn't know until, I don't know, they don't check in a month, or I guess I'm just wondering about the practicality.
Ms. Ryan or whoever thinks that they can, Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, Ms. McCormick.
Senator Moore.
Well, I don't know that the objections raised for this is necessarily just for this. If we're concerned that people are going to be able to get the machine off, doesn't that totally throw off the whole program?
That's the whole program. You're right, Senator Moore. It's not an argument against this one provision. It's an argument against the whole program. So,
we would be
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Pat McCormick, the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services with the Department of Public Safety. We haven't really thought about this much, but just going from what we're hearing and thinking about it as a, you know, one thing we know that we were contemplating, and it would be the case in our pilot program as well, that the vendor would be notifying the department if someone isn't coming in for their test or you know, the reading of the machine, or if for some reason they we haven't heard from them, we would be notified, and they would be required to let us know. And so that would be in any permanent rules or guidelines that we were putting together for these vendors. It would be, I would anticipate that at that point in time, the department would be notifying law enforcement, and that would trigger the action related to a vehicle forfeiture. But I can't give you a lot of details because we haven't really thought it through. And I don't know if Major Tuckner has anything to say about forfeitures in that respect, if you have any comments.
Mr. Chair, Michelle Tuckner with the State Patrol. If I try to speculate on what would occur if the device was removed, notification was made to DVS, DVS would then notify the agency would then try to pursue the forfeiture. It would complicate the forfeiture, obviously, because the vehicle would be back in that person's hands. We'd have to locate the vehicle. Was the vehicle sold? Where would we find it? It would make it more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Major, you'd have to do that anyway, right?
Well, typically, when we forfeit vehicles, it's the night that we arrest them. Okay. So the vehicle's already there. Mm-hmm. So, but I think if you look at what the program provides, the whole ignition interlock language we have here, the benefits outweigh this issue, and we'd be satisfied to work with whatever you have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Lance and Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Rosa. I mean, Senator Lance and Senator Rosa.
When a driver would accept the ignition interlock program or go into it, they would sign up. They've got to sign some paperwork in connection with it. At the same time, they could sign an acknowledgement that the forfeiture proceedings are in abeyance or something to that effect, as long as they comply with the ignition interlock program and stay on it for the required duration, and that if they don't, then the forfeiture proceedings can proceed as they otherwise would have against the vehicle. Once that notice is given to the Department of Public Safety and the plates on the vehicle get flagged as subject to, the vehicle being subject to forfeiture, the plates being subject to impound, mm-hmm. then any law enforcement officer, state patrol that's out there that runs the plates is going to see the vehicle should be seized. It's pulled over and investigated, just like they do now. I think the major is right about, usually when there's a forfeiture, they take the vehicle right away. But on the other hand, right now with all of the source code litigation, there often is not a test result the night of the arrest, because it's not a breath test where they know immediately a vehicle may be subject to forfeiture. They have to wait for the BCA lab to bring back a urine or blood test result, and so some cases now they are releasing the vehicle because they don't know if it's subject to forfeiture yet. And so it gets more complicated, but the bottom line on this one is that you don't want to encourage someone to go on the ignition interlock program because it's the safer thing to do to make sure they're driving legally with valid driving privileges, with insurance, and then take away the very vehicle that they would use to do that. Instead, you take it away, they're going to go out and buy a $100 junker to try to get onto the program. It ends up being just a financial burden on them or their families, and it really makes it hard to accomplish the entire goal of the ignition interlock program in the first place.
Senator Rose.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just thinking forward, if there's four companies in the state that are doing this right now, and I would assume there will probably be more companies that are going to start doing it, there's going to have to be some rulemaking to make sure that these companies understand, very similar to meth cleanup, the companies that all mm-hmm. sprung up to deal with these contaminated properties, that they're going to have to sign up with you, right? And you're able to do that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, yes, that would be part of the rulemaking, and also it would be required in any service contract that we'll be signing, and we'll be going through a regular RFP type process, so it's open to any vendors, and all the regulations we would be stipulated in terms of what their requirements would be if they signed up to be a vendor as part of the program.
Representative Hillstrom and then Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the challenges, you don't want someone, there's a statutory window that says you can only forfeit the vehicle within a certain period of time, and you don't want the person to go right up to that portion and then say, oh, I want to be in the program, and then, or, oh, no, I don't want to be after you've missed the window. And so you would definitely need to make sure if this is the direction we decide we're going to go, that those things are consistent so that people are not able to game the system to keep their vehicle. There may have to be some rules about sale and whether or not they're able to sell this vehicle, because maybe you have a, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 car that you got your DWI in, and then you decide you're going to put the ignition interlock on your, you know, 1990, you know, $100 car. So you really have to, think this through. Because if I'm correct, the bill says that you have to put the ignition interlock on any car you're going to drive, not any car that you own. And so if you say, I'm going to only drive this $100 car, so you aren't going to get to seize my Hummer or my whatever. I mean,
Well, there are people like that in the world, and unfortunately, fortunately, fewer of them live in Minnesota than other places. But yeah, you're right. We do have scoff laws wherever you go. And Mr. Backus is burning up a whole pen's worth of ink, making sure that he took all the notes that the representative Bill's room. He'll work with Ms. Pierce and get this taken care of. Representative Orange.
I had a different subject matter on the B card. If you want to move off this, or if you got more questions, I'll move on.
Well, I think so. We plowed this acre. Let's move on.
On the B card on your language, just one question. When you you have 10 years of absence, it talks about on line 1.14 apply. Now, if you haven't gotten any police reports on you for 10 years, is it going to be automatic, or do you have to apply? And what's the application process like? Are you going to, does that mean a person after the 10 years have to come in with a bunch of letters and things, or do you do a background or a driver's license check? What kind of steps here is he or she going to have to go through there on the application under 1.14?
Mr. Chair and Representative Cornish, in the proposal that was originally crafted, the requirements regarding the five letters would go away. It would be that you would be applying for a duplicate license, and then as part of that application for a duplicate driver's license, or it could be done at the time of renewal, you would request that be part of the that be taken off of your license, and so the department would verify that there hadn't been any driving by alcohol related violations as specified in this section, and then we would just issue a duplicate license without that restriction on the back of the card.
And Representative Cornish, that first paragraph is basically the House language, and then the second paragraph kind of refers to it. Now, down on line 16, it says involved as an operator. That's not quite the term that's used in the DWI statute, so the council's going to have to kind of clean that up a little bit, but you catch the drift there. Is that we're basically saying that you got to go down to the department, you have to do what you would normally do. You know, using your guys' language there in the first paragraph, and then you get your license back with no restrictions. And I think that's, you know, that's probably as far as the Senate really wants to go. I don't, you know, I think this is a pretty reasonable offer, and like I said, you know, these are the folks that have 3, 4, 8, 10, 20 DWIs anyway, and it's a minority of the people who have had DWI enforcement placed on them, and, you know, it's a good reason. So, Representative Norton.
Well, I was just going to follow up with this, and Mr. Chair, and perhaps it's just that first language that it could, on 1.14, it could say something like, as part of the application, which we referred to in the first paragraph, I don't want there to be a, I would prefer there not, if we go this route, to be a separate process, that this is just part of what happens after that 10 years.
Yeah.
So as part of your application, this happens, rather than a separate process. So if you can...
Yeah, it's not as clear, and I think that that's the point.
So, Representative Norton, what and I think that's kind of what the Senate had implied, is that, you know, after the 10 years, it's kind of an automatic that you're going to get this process. You know, you still have to go and do all the things that you would normally do, but this could be just a seamless one stop, and you're completely done with everything. So.
Thank you for that clarification, because that's what I would like to see happen, and I wasn't sure that first sentence made it quite clear. So can you just look at that again?
Yeah, well, we can ask council to work on that here in a break or whatever and get it kind of cleaned up. So, Representative Hillstrom, do you have?
Well, I have some additional questions on forfeiture and seizure, but I can talk to staff because they just came to me.
With that,
wow, epiphanies all around.
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, I can tell you, for example, we have enhanceable situations, you know,
yes,
with our kids in cars, and
yes,
so we need to be certain that we think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We also, I mean, virtually what you'll be doing is eliminating forfeiture in the case of DWI, because anybody who has a vehicle that is worth anything will opt for ignition interlock. And we've eliminated first-timers from being required from doing the program. And so I just really want to talk with staff about the implication and how those two things fit together. Because what you virtually said is, if you have a nice car and you're first-time DWI, the only way you get to keep your car, if you're double the legal limit or you have kids in your car, is to sign up for ignition interlock. So
yep,
we just want to make sure that that's...
And Representative Hillstrom, I think that's what our intention was. If you want to play ball and get in the program, I think we all want that. And if you don't, we'll take your car. We'll make it tough on you to find a way to drink and drive. And I don't see a problem with that at all. You know, the other thing, and I'll make the statement real clear, that if you get caught drunk driving and there's kids in the car, there should be no program available for you. You should go past go. You don't get $200. You go right to jail for a long time.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to make it clear, this bill would let them keep the car.
It would let them keep the car if they want to play ball and get on the interlock system.
But you just said that they shouldn't be eligible for a program if they got kids in the car. And so that's, we just need to have some discussion about this.
Oh, that's my personal preference. I've got a lot of personal preferences, Representative Hillstrom. I think the State Patrol knows how I feel, that I would give them carte blanche to kind of help the person into the back of their squad car once or twice or five times. But those are just my personal reflections, because I don't have much time for drunk drivers. But you know, we got to have something that works for everybody.
I share those personal preferences, Mr. Chair.
As do I, Mr. Chair.
So if it's okay, we're going to go take over Senator Stevens' office for a little bit here. What are you thinking for a time frame?
We can go into recess for an hour or so.
Okay.
The Senate's got to go into session at 11. We'll just play it by ear. We'll give you a call.
Okay.
But it's going to be at least an hour, all right?
All right.
Okay.
Thank
We're
you.
In recess. We've got treats on the line. There you go. She's got one of those books, too. I'm worried about it. Or is that the same one?
It's perfect.